But today is VE Day. The war is
the
over.
The newly crowned queen waves from the balcony.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has landed.
Tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Bailey Gifford. Capital at risk.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to The Wealth Show. I'm Zach, a senior reporter at Citywire Wealth Manager. I'm joined today by fellow reporter Sophie Downs. And today we're talking about investor participation when it comes to corporate bonds. Last week, the FCA published a consultation which set out plans to make it easier for investors to access lower denomination bonds. Today, we're joined by Stacey Parsons, founder of working group Investor Access to Regulated Bonds, to discuss what this means for the markets and retail investors. Firstly, welcome to the studio, Stacey. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me today. Great to be with you both.
Lovely. It's a very exciting topic. So thank you so much for joining us on this. It's been something that's been in the works for a long time now. Firstly, can I just ask you to explain the sort of impact of, you know, the FCA loosening these restrictions and just explain to us what this means really for wealth managers?
So I think in order to understand the story probably a bit more broadly, this has been 3 years in the making, particularly for the working group that I chair and founded alongside other individuals like Nick Dilworth and Elena Chimonides. We started to realise that there was a gap in accessibility to corporate bonds in the UK around 3 years ago, and it was more linked to understanding how the market was transitioning itself for a move towards higher interest rates. And also, we were looking at an understanding of what had happened through the London Capital and Finance mini bond scandal. And particularly, we were understanding that people were not having access to the regulated products, but seemed to have access to what we would call sort of the unregulated market in that through that. And so it came upon us, having been a significant proportion of time myself as head of fixed income and head of fixed income a strategy role, within about 25 years, actually, it came upon me that we should do something and understand this a little bit better on where was the barriers to entry and what was happening. And in doing that, we recognised that there had been significant unintended consequences of a number of pieces of regulation that had been delivered through 2005, 2011, 2015. And that kind of chipped away unintendedly at just allowing direct access to the bond market, which is actually the biggest market globally. And so we started to think about how we as individuals, and maybe that's because I was getting a bit older and maybe I was starting to think I should probably give something back to the world. But we started to think about how we could work towards a solution. And it's as simple as that. You know, when you get industry participants who want to give their time and their effort and their passion to something, we started the Investor Access to Regulated Bonds Working Group. In doing that, we knew it wasn't going to be easy. You're looking at turning around an oil tanker, okay? We, as I said, market practices had moved much more towards what we call wholesale issuance with this £100,000 denomination. And when we started to look more broadly into that, we started to think, okay, well, market policy can change. And this was with the tailwinds of a significant number of policies going out there. You will know the Lord Hill review for investor participation in equities, the prospectus regulation review. Rachel Kent also brought a review around investment research, Mark Austin, secondary raising review. So this was in a time frame that there were lots of different activity going through the market. But we could understand that perhaps there wasn't the same focus on the bond market. And so we decided to do something about it. So we were founded in the early months of 2022. And at that time, we went to speak to the London Stock Exchange, who have been exceptionally kind to this narrative. And we are very, very proud to have them still to this day as our executive sponsor for that working group. And that means that they come along and support us with their ability to understand this narrative, but also with their expertise, which is really important to the conversation. We slowly built out the membership, very much talking to the buy side, talking to execution-only platforms, but also really importantly, and as you say there, Zach, really importantly, the discretionary fund manager community as well. And we started to understand that what had happened here is we'd had a silo effect where rates have been really low. Also, wholesale issuers, corporate bond issuers, probably didn't need to come to the retail market. And we understand that. But the nuances that were playing into this was very much that if you consider discretionary fund managers will manage wealth on behalf of individuals, but actually they're still classified as retail because of that hurdle threshold that we talk about. So it had kind of two elements to it. And we started to build out the working group really strongly, and we started to have trade associations, and as I say, some of the top, and I'm hoping some of your listeners will be some of the people that are within our working group, some of those really sort of strong UK-based names who are in the discretionary fund manager and execution only environment in the UK.
Mm-hmm. So it is a really exciting time. I mean, is there, as we said, it's 3 years in the works, is there a particular reason why the FCA is kind of getting on board with this now? Obviously, it's very timely with, Rachel Reeves and her kind of initiative growth within the UK.
I think if you look at the direction wholly across what's happening, and that's actually about both consecutive governments looking towards investor participation, it would be right for us to consider investor participation across diverse asset classes. So, as I say, we've been very fortunate to have a good dialogue with the regulators and other industry stakeholders. This is where we can understand that in order to change capital markets in offering investor participation, we must make sure that we offer the correct asset classes and also a broader range of asset classes. It would be a void of me to say that we know that there's a significant proportion of people investing in things that are not classified as regulated markets. And so it's upon us within the regulated market community and others to ensure that we can bring good client outcomes, product and service to all of our customer base. And so I think that, yes, for sure, it's very much in the narrative at the moment when we talk about growth. And so I think that we've got to look to our partners and look to our competitors and understand different markets and think, how can we learn and bring on board the journeys that they've been on, and certainly make sure that we're offering the right products, service and outcome to all customers. And that's kind of the bedrock of what we do in the markets and the regulated side of our business.
Yeah. In terms of corporate bonds themselves, I'm thinking of our wealth audience listening to this and thinking of their clients. As you said, because of, obviously the regulation hasn't been eased to this point, so it's not been something that's been considered as much as it should, as it will be being now. A lot of wealth managers might be thinking for their clients about, retirement income, and retirement planning is a huge part of their job. Could you just explain a little bit about the role of corporate bonds in retirement planning and, how they can be utilised and how it could be lucrative?
Yeah, well, I think, again, it goes back down to the, I'm not a wealth manager by trait, so I can't, I'm afraid I won't be giving advice today on this podcast, but certainly the wealth manager community that's part of the Investor Access to Regulated Bonds Working Group have been keen to express to us that currently they are working towards delivering retirement income, and they're quite kind of narrow in the product availability of what can be used. The core credentials of the bond market offers you a maturity, offers you a coupon or an interest rate, if you like, and it can also offer you access to creditworthy issuers much more. So this is going to allow where wanted, wealth managers the ability to come forward and participate in capital markets in areas that they probably haven't been able to previously. Now, it may well be that certain wealth managers are very much involved in the bond fund environment. But this, again, goes back down to that point. It's about offering the opportunity to have a diversified portfolio, offering different access points. But also what's really important today, and I think that we all recognise this, is I think we are ranking significantly lower in financial inclusion in the UK. We've had reports to say that there's a big gap in the people that can access advice and that can't access advice. This has been a big review, the Advice Guidance Boundary Review has been done as well by the market. What this seeks to do is it seeks to give people opportunities, depending on where you are in your life cycle, depending on where you are in your situation or your home or other. This offers you an opportunity and your advisor or your self-invested portfolio the ability to work more broadly to understand what are your needs for your retirement, or maybe not retirement, maybe it's just that you're looking to lock an investment away because you have a particular sort of event coming up in your life. So I think this is about opportunity, this is about participation, but it's also about understanding, and I kind of mentioned that at the very beginning, we are turning a tanker here. Mm-hmm. We have to recognize that. So as part of the work streams that we have through IARB, we're very much around information and education. That's crucially important, not only just for customers and consumers, but very much for the wealth community and otherwise, to ensure that we've got those guardrails in place. So, you know, maybe that's why you could argue that it's taken a little bit longer in terms of bringing some of the conversations together. Mm-hmm. But we very much want to make sure that we're working within the parameters that offer the protections as well as offering opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you say that. I've spoken to people who are kind of a bit more hesitant, I suppose, about corporate bond. But, you know, linking to the reports you mentioned, there clearly is a big opportunity here. So some stats I've got down is that the Barclays research you mentioned last month said that 13 million people in the UK were holding 430 billion in cash that could be invested. And there was also research from Aberdeen, which showed that 8% of wealth held by UK adults is in equities and mutual funds, discounting pensions. So there's really a huge chunk of people that aren't considering fixed income as an option. So why should they invest in corporate bonds? What are the risks, I suppose, that people should be aware of with them?
Of course. Well, you very much have an understanding that in terms of the product area, there is an interest rate risk around what you're purchasing. And one would say, you know, at all times, please take advice and make sure that you've got education around everything you're doing. No one's advocating for anyone to purchase. But what I would say, it goes back down to, if you look at the significance of people that are engaging in the fixed income markets at the moment, we've seen that through money market funds. We've seen that through fixed income funds. We've also, to an extent, seen that through the opening up of the Treasury bill market. You know, there's individuals that are coming to this market. We've also got an aging population who are less risk adverse. And we've got 22 million people in this country that are sitting between the advice guidance boundary gap. So I wouldn't be here to advocate that everybody should be purchasing bonds, but what I'm saying to you is that I think this is part of a portfolio that offers different things to different. And there will be certain fund managers that are listening to this podcast thinking this is not actually something that is applicable or can be open to my investors. But what I would say is it would be good to have the opportunity to have the right guardrails and with the right support and the right education. I think one of the other things that's quite important is, and you mentioned, which is an absolutely fantastic stat, and it's been bounded around quite heavily, we very much have a culture of savings in the UK. Mm. I mean, actually, if you look at how much is in cash ISAs, but then move over more broadly to how much is sitting in bank accounts, and we know that in some instances, not everybody's getting a fair proportion of their returns. And so this is, again, about offering returns, but offering them with guardrails, education and understanding, and changing market policy through to market practice. Mm-hmm. So people have better opportunities to get engaged, but also there will be different narratives that suit different parts of your lifestyle.
Yeah, and you made a good point about information, education, and making sure those guardrails are in place. And I think you spoke about the London Capital and Finance scandal at the top of the podcast. You know, it's this sense of building financial literacy and investor confidence, really, and a sort of UK specific problem is that is low. And I was just asking how we can build this. I mean, obviously, you know, part of the FCA's thinking on this is financial inclusion, as you said as well. If there aren't enough regulated avenues to go down, people will go down unregulated avenues. I was just going to ask you how else we can try and build this investor confidence. I mean, obviously that's top of the Chancellor's top of thought as well.
So I think narrative is really important, and I don't underestimate the challenge of changing a narrative in the UK. I think it's very much broadly around, we do have a savings culture as opposed to an investment culture. But that said, if you consider the increased activity that we saw from retail, more broadly investor activity through COVID, It does say to you that there is appetite for engagement. It's just that we have to make sure that engagement is given with as I say, with the right guardrails. I do think that we are already seeing a change in understanding. There's lots of fantastic campaigns that are being run very much by your community. If you look at LinkedIn now, and you guys do a fantastic job on your LinkedIn. So I just have to give you a big heads up for that one. But if you look at LinkedIn now, which is free at the purpose to individuals, we have much better information. What we're probably not quite so good at doing is celebrating that information and giving out that information a little bit more. And so lots of engagement with sort of the younger generations that are coming through or looking towards coming to join financial services. And I say to them, it's about information, it's about education, it's about looking at publications, it's about listening to podcasts. And also having the time to get invested in your own world, whether that's getting invested in your financial health, your financial wealth, or otherwise, you need to think more broadly. So I think that we need to bring about a change, but also we need to be very, very careful that we don't instill a change that is not properly required in terms of building those guardrails and education out. I do think there's a lot of information out there already. I think we probably just need to be more proactive in ensuring that people understand where to go to. And that's why if you look at some of the high profile scenarios that have happened, and as I mentioned, the reviews and reports, and they've been very widely covered by yourselves and others, this is very important that we understand that we can change the narrative, we can move forward, but we've got to do it as a collaboration. And I'm a real big believer in the fact that the only way we're going to change this narrative is if we all come together and work together. Because as much as the markets need the journalists and the journalists needs need the government and the government, we all need to work together because we want to put the right protections in place. And that's really important. We have to collaborate for change.
What reaction, I'm curious, what reaction have you seen since the FCA published this last week? Because it's, you know, years in the making. It must have been a very triumphant moment.
Well, I'm going to be honest. For me, it was quite an emotional moment. And my fellow colleagues across the working group, it was a little bit of a moment in time, I think, most definitely. We've certainly had positive engagement across a number of stakeholders, and that goes from sort of one end of the spectrum to the other. The particular consultation is closing. I think it's on the 14th of March. So, in all honesty, we're all sort of heads down reading the consultation, getting through it. The regulators have been working at speed on a number of initiatives, and I think that has to be congratulated. They really have been working on a number of initiatives, not just this one, and that goes more broadly across a number of areas. So the people, there's lots of engagement up through the current conversations, if you like, not just for the bond markets. If I was to say, is there a strong narrative coming in, or is there a strong conversation? I think it's very much, it's changed in the way that it's been perceived. And I go back down to that tanker thought process 3 years ago. It probably was like, this will never come to fruition. And so hence why I was slightly emotional when it arrived on Friday. But it's, if you think about 3 years ago, this was probably an opportunity that was something that we didn't ever anticipate would come. Now, I think, and also, as you mentioned, there's been a report from Aberdeen, there's been a report from Barclays specifically on this subject. I might add the Aberdeen report was much more broader, but specifically from Barclays on this subject. So I think that opens a wider conversation and opens a wider opportunity for what could be going forward. I think one of the things that we are very keen to do as part of the IRB working group is ensure that we look at a number of areas. So it's not necessarily just around market policy and changing the work that we've done over the last 2 to 3 years. It's more about now understanding what does delivery look like. So I mentioned information and education, product and infrastructure. What does that mean to investors and wealth managers? And so that's what's fantastic about the working group is we've got such a vibrant and varied, we've got 34 entities within our working group, which is just fantastic. And it just shows you the spirit and the collaboration of the markets in this instance to come together. But this particular, first and foremost, consultation paper, and get that through. And I need to give a bit of a shout out to my colleagues, Nick Dilworth and Rory Renshaw, who are very much in the IARB working stream for legal and regulation. So thanks for those guys. And then once we get the formalised response from the consultation, which will be public, one would imagine, then we can move forward to understand how we can help and support any delivery. But there's lots of investor engagement going on at the moment. There's a significant proportion of, and when I say investor engagement, I mean more market engagement on a number of areas. I'm sure you're aware of the work of the Capital Markets Industry Task Force, which is chaired by Julia Hoggett. And so these are all things that are feeding into that conversation. And yeah, there's probably going to be a few more late nights for me and a few more reading of documents and bringing together. We also have a very successful LinkedIn page. Can I do a plug there? Is that allowed? we have a LinkedIn page, so I would definitely encourage any of your readers to come to the Investor Access to Regulated Bonds LinkedIn page and come and follow. It offers you an opportunity to just sort of see some of the bite-sized conversations that's going in, especially if you're a wealth manager, fund manager or otherwise, and you've got a short space of time to quickly come onto the page. You can see some of the works that we're doing there, so please do get engaged.
I think we'll also tag the article, the links to the documents in the article as well.
Yes.
So you can have a read through there. Fabi, that sounds like a great note to end on.
Stacey, thank you so much for coming in. And thank you, Sophie, for joining me as well today.
Thank you for having me. No worries. Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to The Wealth Show with myself, Zach Sharif, and Sophie Downs. Today, we were joined by Stacey Parsons, founder of working group Investor Access to Regulated Bonds. For any questions, please feel free to email us at wmnews@citywire.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Today is VE Day. The
newly crowned queen waves from the Belt.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has landed.
Tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Bailey Gifford. Capital at risk.